Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Mobilecast, episode number 223. We're coming to you live from Toronto, Canada. We are in the Fairmont York, Royal York Hotel for another M Enterprise, so it's M Enterprise Canada. And I'm actually leading a panel here with a couple of advisory board members and a couple of the speakers here today. And yeah, I know everybody on this panel, and we actually have the two grandfathers of mobile here. We have the dirty uncle of mobile, and there are two others on the panel. We're going to see if the dirty uncle is willing to identify himself. Ken raised his hand, but as opposed to me introducing you all, I'm just going to say, let's go down the line, say who you are, who you work for, and actually, how long you've been in mobile? Bob's thinking. He doesn't have enough fingers and toes, but go ahead, Bob.
So my name is Bobby again. I'm CEO and founder of a boutique advisory firm called the Sefrin Group. I spent about 80% of my time working with CIOs and other business leaders within the enterprise, and the other 20% working with product companies helping to build their portfolio. In terms of being in mobile, I guess I go back to high school as a ham radio operator. When I was so geeky, I could never get dates, but the minute I put a phone patch in my car, it became really cool. So
no, field days.
So that goes back. But I think, you know, professionally, you know, I was one of the founding members of the Wi-Fi movement, so I built a lot of the protocols and things associated with Wi-Fi. I'd probably say I signed off on that standard. And so I guess formally, on the product side, Wi-Fi was probably the, you know, in the, you know, people think it was like a 2000 thing, but we really started working on that in the mid 80s, so it took a long time.
It sure took you long enough.
It took us long.
So Eric Klein, BDC Research, I'm director in the mobile and wireless practice there. We have a practice dedicated to enterprise mobility. I've been with BDC for just over 5 years now. And to be fair, strictly focusing on mobile, those 5 years are the 5 years I've been into it. But I've been tracking enterprise technologies and enterprise applications for the better part of about 15 years.
Since you were born, basically.
Yeah. I started out, you know, kind of as a lowly network administrator out of school and kind of have been...
You worked your way down since?
Yeah, pretty much.
Eric may actually be the youngest person on the panel here.
Oh, by far.
So,
it's possible.
Jack?
What do you mean by far?
Depends
Speak
on where
yourself.
You're sounding, I guess.
So you can tell that the two, you know, sometimes you call them the grandfathers of mobile. Other times they're just the curmudgeons of mobile.
And what do we call you, Brian?
We'll leave that one out. So.
Hey, with Star, Trek, with Star Trek coming up, I consider myself the Obi-Wan Kenobi of mobile.
It would be Star Wars. Go ahead, Jack.
All right. Boy, what a group. I'm Jack Gold. I am a founder and principal analyst at J. Gold Associates, for a small independent analyst firm. I've been doing that for about 10 years. Before that, I was an analyst at Meta Group for about 12 years. And before that, I had a varied career in engineering, manufacturing, chips, all kinds of different stuff. Once upon a time, I could actually spell engineering. I've been in the mobile space now for better than 20 years, covering mostly enterprise mobility, but also looking at all the technologies that make that work. And it's been a very interesting ride. I mean, I go back, I can remember the original Palm Pilots, so that's how old I am. In fact, I probably still have one somewhere in my garage or somewhere else. So it's been a very interesting ride, and I look forward to seeing where mobile is going to go over the next few years. It's going to be also a very interesting ride.
So I'm Sanjay Khanna. I'm a senior analyst in Canadian mobile business applications and services at IBC Canada. And I've been at IBC for a year, but I've been involved in mobile thought leadership and innovation since 2004, when I was pulled into Nokia to do work for them on the future of play and gaming. So I'm primarily a futurist and global megatrends expert who switched into the analyst space. Typically, I've worked more with innovators on the early stage of ideation for mobile applications, but also for looking at areas like the future of robotics and artificial intelligence. And look forward to contributing to this conversation. I'm also on the advisory board of a mobile healthcare startup that's looking to improve accessibility to healthcare
for Canadians, and that emerged out of my work as a scholar at the College of the University of Toronto.
So was that Nokia when they were making tires or TV sets?
Tires.
Oh, well. For those of you who don't know, Nokia was a tire manufacturer before they got into phones.
Tires and rubber boots. And
so they've always been mobile.
Yeah. Ooh.
So my name's Ken Daniels.
Any fans in the audience?
Do we offend anybody?
Not yet, but can you still talk?
I still have time. So my name's Ken Daniels. I'm founder of a small boutique consulting company that works with enterprise mobility companies. What we try to do is we try to help companies get together. Basically, we're highly paid matchmakers. So what we try to do is we try to match technologies to issues. We try to help people with business development and those kinds of things. I've been involved in mobile since probably the early 2000s. I worked for a large consulting firm. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to give them a bad name. And I actually helped them shut down their mobile practice in 2002 because there was no future in mobility.
And Ken's selling himself short because then he was at Samsung. And those of you who use Safe and remember that, he's the one who created Safe, essentially.
Sorry about that.
So let's and he's a major hockey fan. So if you've got any hockey jokes or hockey questions, this is the guy to ask.
So he's still playing hockey. He's a goalie.
Which explains a lot once you get to him.
Yeah, you know, he gets in the head a lot. But let's get started. So we're all up here. We're at an enterprise mobility conference. Can somebody here actually define what is enterprise mobility? Because the definition has changed so often in the last 5 years. And go back, you know, if we go back, we've all been in this business for over 10. You know, enterprise mobility used to be, you got a phone.
Yep.
And then it was, well, and people didn't consider a laptop mobile and all that. How do we define enterprise mobility today for everybody?
Well, in 1998, I wrote an e-book titled The Great Wireless Experiment. And it's cobbled together some very, very early solutions.
Did they have e-books back then?
They weren't called e-books, they were just called books.
He had a chisel and a hammer and a big piece of stone.
Right. They weren't called e-books then, but it was too small for me to stand up there and say that I wrote a book, because that's not the way I looked at it. But what I did is, over a series of months, cut the wires. And you know, some of the findings out of that were that, I know Microsoft talks about this a lot these days, but people are mobile. Devices are not sort of mobility, right? But the other finding for me, and again, it was very tough to put solutions together that allowed me to remain connected in both my personal and professional life. But I also find that the fluidity of information, the way it needed to move throughout a business, and frankly, throughout your personal life, was really the big change, right? So for me, mobility is about information agility and information fluidity. And we're still trying to figure out how to modernize that infrastructure, 17 years later. So,
Eric?
You know, I would say for me, it was a very interesting revelation when I first had a laptop with a wireless, connection, right? And I thought that was the coolest thing, because it was just so odd to not have to be tethered. And that, the standards have come a long way, and the speeds have come a long way. The, connectedness of everything has come such a long way, right? I mean, networks are ubiquitous. So, I think the way I define it is basically, being able to get work done pretty simply wherever you are, and being connected wherever you are, and having access to the applications and content and data that you need to do your job. And that's, what's really neat about it for me as I track this market is, how great progress we've made and how so far, but we really haven't come that far yet in terms of applications that really do provide those, business enhancing elements that people want. So ISVs are going to be instrumental taking this forward. It is all about applications, really. All the infrastructure is there now. That's what's great. I mean, certainly we need more small cells and other things for more access, and there's still pockets of non-connectedness, but I think it's going to be a very exciting time in the next 5 years.
Jack?
So I think many people focus on the whole issue of enterprise mobility from a technology perspective, and I think that's the wrong perspective to focus on. I think the proper way to look at enterprise mobility is that it's a new work style, it's a mindset, it's a way of extending your corporate environment to wherever your people are. It's taking work to people rather than having people come to work. And if you look at it from that perspective, if you look at it from the perspective of extending the organization, extending the enterprise, allowing people to do whatever they need to do whenever they need to do it, that's really what enterprise mobile is all about. It's not just about technologies. It's not just about smartphones or tablets or PCs or laptops. It's not just about Wi-Fi or 4G. It's about an attitude. It's about a way of looking at the marketplace and saying, okay, people are mobile. They're not fixed. We're taking information to our users who are then taking it right to the customer site. And that's, I think, the best way to define mobility for an enterprise users.
I'll just build on what Jack said, and I'll sort of even maybe put it in a broader context. Enterprise mobility is about human adaptation to change. We, as a species in the new evolving enterprise, are trying to adapt to fastest a set of changes and stressors in our societies than we ever have in history. And so now getting access to information and insight from the mobile device starts to be important. Everything from just getting very basic, very mundane things done in the day-to-day workflows inside our organizations to understanding risks to our businesses, to understanding our customers' mindsets as they also go through this period of adapting to very rapid change. So as we enter this new business environment, new operating environment is changing very drastically. And mobile has been the fundamental way that we've tried to keep up with change. And you see this in terms of how enterprise mobility has evolved. In my presentation on the first day of the conference, it was really about devices flooding the enterprise and are almost doing a kind of catch-up. Like, we needed these devices to get to connect with one another, to move projects forward, to be more untethered from the office. But now we're trying to manage a wide array of changes in the overall business and operating environment that are requiring us to access more different kinds of applications and services as soon as we possibly can. And now drawing in the big data, the analytics, the data visualization in order to action information more quickly. Lots of companies aren't going to make it through this transition because, again, it's about human adaptation and business sectoral adaptation to a changing risk environment, a changing operational environment, and a changing environment for doing business with customers who themselves are changing because of mobility, because of smartphones, because of the speed of data and information exchange.
So I come to this from a slightly different angle than a lot of these guys do. So I was a consultant before I went to work for a product company, and I'm back being a consultant now. So everything that everybody talked about generally was true. You know, it's all its devices, its processes, its applications, it's all these other things. What it really comes down to is, and change management is kind of what we just talked about, but not really what I want to say. You have to take a look at what we're doing with mobile. So mobility, you know, when you say mobility, people think of...
And those are air quotes from Ken that you can't see in the
podcast. Mobility, you know, when you say that to people, they think about devices, they think about IoT, they think about all this stuff that the millennials and my kids and everybody else's kids are growing up with that we didn't grow up with, all the stuff that is different today than it was back in the day. It's all about taking a look at your business and saying, what do we do? Fundamentally, what do we do? Jody and I had a conversation about this on Monday. You know, what do we do? What does my workforce look like? If I have, no offense to the grandfathers and mobile, if I have a bunch of older guys that are working in my plant or working as part of my workforce, I'm not going to hand them an iPad. If I've got my 17-year-old son, I'm not going to give him a piece of paper when I'm asking him to do his work. So it comes back to, what am I trying to do as a business? What's my goal? What is our reason for being? And how do I take these things that are out there? And again, that can be when people talk about mobile, it's taking Maribel's example, taking forms to an accident, all that kind of stuff. People always think about that stuff, but you've also got to think about, I've got a plan. Can I mobilize my maintenance force? So it's not necessarily even just, I've got to worry about people being anywhere. It's these people are already away from a desk to start. How do I make them more effective? So it really, in my mind, enterprise mobility is not stuff. It's about how do I change my business.
So as one of the grandfathers sitting up here on the...
You are offended.
The DS. I'm the what?
You are offended.
I'm not offended. I just want to disagree. I don't disagree with your premise. I do disagree with one thing, however, and that is that there are a lot of jobs with older folks that have been in the business for a long time that can be automated. And to assume it's a harder transition because they're not digital natives as the younger classes would be, so to speak. But there is a lot of stuff that can be implemented that will help those folks. So you may want to give them an iPad. It just will have different apps on it.
I actually agree with that. So there's things that you can automate. It's funny you say that. I go back to, I gave my mother her first tablet. It was a Samsung tablet. So I was working for Samsung.
Did you apologize?
No, I apologize. But when she was asking how to use it, and I said, you use it just like your phone. You just, you know, you get all the apps. And she showed me her flip phone. I said, oh, yeah, never mind. I guess I've got to step back a little bit. Because I think that there's a group of people who assume things. And so, yes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You just have to have a different mindset about how you're going to do that teaching.
I'm just going to say, I would just add, the old dogs have a lot of institutional knowledge today, right? Figuring out a way to use mobile to help transfer that knowledge and do knowledge transfer, that'd be a good idea. I think a lot of companies are going to focus on that as the aging workforce continues to age. So I'm not disagreeing either, but I just add that.
I have absolutely the opposite perspective in all this, because I actually think that a bulk of the baby boomers and probably the first half of the millennial population are the most disenfranchised by the drive towards keyboards and mouse and big screen, and to the extent that that causes a lack of mobility and produces natural instincts where, you know, one of the things that frustrates the hell out of me is I get into these large companies and the whole discussion is, how do I take a suite of office docs and repeat what that looks like?
Right.
Right, and I will tell you
on a 5-inch device.
So you know, how do I take the whole keyboard mouse experience and shrink it down to the size of a postage stamp and still have an equivalent experience? And it's just amazing what the focus is. On the other hand, I have an 87-year-old dad who really struggled using a keyboard and a mouse for years. I'd buy him the best things, or my brother buy him fantastic, just. He just never got it. Gave him a tablet, and he's like, I think, frankly, he's on Facebook too much. and then I have young kids, and they are absolutely digital natives. Okay. I mean, you know, my 6-year-old had a birthday recently, and you know, one of the things was to have her participate in the purchase of a couple of things from Amazon, and so. We're Amazon Prime, and it's like 3 days, and she can read. It's 3 days, and you know, 3 days comes, and doesn't get delivered. 4 days comes, it doesn't get delivered. Finally, on the 6th day, it comes. She goes, you know, Daddy, they lie. This online stuff, they lie a lot. They said 3 days, but it's always a week.
Well, yeah, it's funny.
So my point here is that the people I think that are struggling the most, and I think that's why we've seen a lot slower adaption within the workplace is a good part of the baby boomers and the early part of the millennials who have adapted to a way of life that feels very comfortable, but everybody else who sits outside that are not handicapped by some of the experiences that have been driven in a cubicle connected to a wire with a mouse and with a keyboard.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love the conversation I'm hearing. I like to boil it down to work is the thing you do, not a place you go. And you know, to me, that's what enterprise mobile. It is pretty cliche, but the truth of the matter is, And I think it goes into digital natives is a good way to look at it. You know, Ray Wang has his five levels of people. I don't think it's age. You know, my father is mostly a digital native. My mother is a laggard, Luddite.
A digital primitive.
I refuse to help her. I tell her that she has to act. My daughter, if you need help, you have to call my daughters. They will help you with your phone. They will help you with whatever. They have the patience.
Tech support.
You know, I have a shirt that my wife bought me years ago that says, I will not do tech support. She made me wear it the next five visits to my parents.
But that doesn't make her part of the disenfranchised. That's a new definition. I mean, Maribel talks a lot about the right time experience and the right context for the right person, right? And
absolutely.
So if someone just wants to make a phone call, right, they should be able to easily make a phone call and get a phone call or send a message, right? And so what? Maybe they're not Googling everybody from their phone or their tablet. That's not the experience they expect.
Okay,
I just want to sort of jump in here just a little bit. So women in the room, other sorts of diversities. If you find yourselves sometimes thinking about some of these challenges and some of these problems differently than the way we think of them, it'd be great to get your voices in the dialogue. If you think their perspectives are on sort of the all-male panel that we're delivering that don't map to how you think about mobility or how you think it's instantiating itself in the workplace. But the other thing to think about is, as we have higher speed networks, mobile devices with faster sort of capabilities, improved mobile apps, better connections to back ends, you also have to think about risk and what enterprise mobility can mean. The fact that we have this much speed means that if you don't get your strategy right on any kinds of operational business decisions that you're going to primarily sort of figure out through data that you've been looking at on your mobile device, you have the chance of making more bad decisions more quickly than at any time in human history. If you look at the front end of this in terms of what it means for organizational risk and you know, understanding how you do speed to decision making, are you really making decisions in a way that offers enough connection and building the right relationships inside your organization. So speed also has a downside. And so part of being smart about enterprise mobility is thinking about the decision-making process to make sure, you know, it's enabled, but it doesn't enhance corporate risk because of the increased speed and capabilities we have to make.
And there's a very important component to that as well. I agree with you. The very important component is mobile driving your enterprise, or is your enterprise business driving mobile?
So this leads us to the next question I want to ask, which is, where are we in the enterprise mobility lifecycle? I know, Jack, you showed the value chain in a slide you did in a presentation on yesterday, and I said that looks more like a mobile maturity model than a value chain, although you did have cost on it. Where are we in this lifecycle? And, you know, why don't we start with Ken and work back the other way, and if you wanted to pipe up, feel free.
So. Sure. So these questions, to be fair, are some of the ones that I came up with. So
he came up with them. He didn't come up with the answers.
I didn't come up with the answers. So I didn't think about what the answers are. So I'm kind of worried. So where that question comes from is we do a lot of these conferences, and Maribel leads a lot of these conferences, and she has a slide that she shows that has a horse and buggy and says this is where we were, and shows a Tesla and says this is where we are. And I would argue that we're more at the Model A than the Tesla. I think that we're very early, and again, I think a lot of it comes down to what we've all been talking about. There's the adoption, there's the part of the networks fast. And when you look at the technology piece of it, the technology, like I said, I shut down a mobile practice in 2002 because mobile wasn't ready. The devices weren't there, the applications weren't there, the networks weren't there, none of the stuff was there. The ideas of what we thought we could do with mobile and enterprise were all there, but the stuff that kind of, you know, that the underpinnings weren't there. Now we're changing things so quickly, I think that enterprises are still trying to catch up. So I think that the technology is there. I don't think the technology is anywhere close to where it'll be 5 years from now.
I think that's the wrong approach, if I can disagree with that, because you want disagreement on the board.
Yeah. Well,
she told us that.
Jack thinks I'm stupid, so that's...
No, just naive.
Okay. And the dirty old uncle, so...
Yeah, the dirty old uncle, no. No, but I think it's an important point. The technology, I think, is, whether it's good or bad, you can adapt the technology. The real problem that most companies have today, most enterprises I talk to have, is that they look at this technology and say, okay, how can I employ this technology? As opposed to, where's my business going over the next 3 years, and how can the technology boost my business? How can I backfill
into
the
environment?
Oh, so you're a smart man.
That's been recorded, so you can play that back.
So again, it's, we're getting to a point where the technology is there. The businesses have to either catch up with technology or figure out how to make it. It's all about, like you said, making the technology work for you rather than...
But start with the business plan. What's the business strategy? Don't start with the technology. Don't start with devices. Don't start with networks. Don't start with tablets. Where is my business going over the next 2 to 3 years? What can I use to make that work better? And then look at, you know, the proper device, the proper network, the proper cloud storage, whatever it's going to be, as opposed to looking at the technology first and then trying to adapt.
I'm not even going to respectfully disagree. I'm just going to outright disagree. Because I sat in a meeting where Ken Olson, how many people remember Digital Corporation?
Ken Olson, yeah.
So I was sitting in a meeting where Ken Olson was talking to Bill Gates, who had spent like a half a day bringing in all of these green screen monitors and these cages of PCs, and he demonstrated 10 iterations of Palm running at the same time. It was the first multi-threaded operating system, right? And so there was this whole lively, you know, discussion, and I was the advanced technology director, and we're looking at this, and, wow, this is really, really cool stuff. And so as an engineer, like, we're all excited. Ken Olson, the founder and CEO of that, sort of looks at Bill Gates and says, you know, if I could ever really figure out why everybody wanted to have a computer in their home, maybe I'd start building. And I think that's kind of where we are.
Did he also say Unix is snake oil?
I never heard Ken say that, but...
I did.
but the point here is that that's kind of where I think we are in terms of enterprise mobility in the workplace, right? There are so many organizations that are just so frozen trying to figure out why we need to mobilize rather than unleashing this on the workforce beyond the email. And standing back and seeing some of the bigger issues about how this has been unleashed in the consumer market and all of the activity that's taking place. It reminds me of a conversation where Ken couldn't figure out why everybody wanted to have, you know, a laptop or a desktop at home and why should build them. And I think a lot of organizations should go out and instead of standing by the Yukon River and saying, look, that water is cold, it's rocky, there's lots of waves, and I'm going to drown if I go down that thing. And maybe if I wait long enough, the waters will calm and they'll get warmer, and then maybe I'll sort of wade in and see how it feels. And I think more and more organizations should just get off the dime and do more things and then see what happens inside.
Well, okay. How many people in the room either know someone who uses Slack or use Slack inside their organizations?
So they're about 10 or 20% of the room raised their hand.
Okay, so Slack, for those of you who don't know what Slack is, it's the fastest growing enterprise application in the world. And it grew out of a failed experiment to develop a video game. And a relay chat system was set up by the developers as they returned investors' money around that interactive game that was being built. And out of that advanced chat system that they were using for their dispersed team to develop this game, they developed a way for teams to collaborate, gather conversations, set up channels for conversations and dialogues within organizations without checking email, or checking email very, very rarely. And that application has done a complete end run. So you know your organization, if your organization is using Slack and you don't know about it, which has happened in a lot of companies, Slack is, when you hit 300 users with Slack, you have to buy it. But you're good up to 300, and they may have increased those limits. So all these organizations, from the New York Times to Gawker,
BuzzFeed, all the organizations you would imagine to be sort of the leading edge in terms of who they're hiring and who they're working with, got up to 300 users without their IT people really knowing essentially what was going on. And then we're forced to buy into this application to ease the main development. If you have an organization that has people that are sort of doing that without you knowing about it, you know you have the seeds for a truly mobile-first organization. Now, that was the first application as an enterprise app that was developed mobile-first and wearables-first. So you have to look at the development of that and what it means culturally in terms of enterprise application development, but also the kinds of culture that can also adapt to new compliance regimes and all that kind of thing. Because as Slack started to take over by stealth all these organizations, and particularly with their development teams who are on the leading edge, as they started to sort of take over, Slack built in all the compliance and audit and kind of other mechanisms to build out their services to charge more money. So if your company is a large enterprise that requires you to keep an audit trail of financial, regulatory, any kinds of conversations that are going on in your network, Slack also enables that. So they moved into bigger Fortune 500 companies. It's not just New York Times and Gawker and BuzzFeed. So, you know.
And they weren't the first to do this, by the way. So if you look back historically, I don't know if the BlackBerry folks are here, that's the way BlackBerry got started,
yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
IT didn't go out and buy BlackBerries. People brought them in. They went out and bought a BlackBerry. They did desktop redirect, something that we'd all be appalled at if we were in IT, but that's what they did. And they just sent stuff to the devices, and it just built, it ground up. There was a groundswell, and finally enterprises actually had to adapt them, and BlackBerry started putting back-end tools in place to make it work better and all that kind of stuff.
And
there's a lot of those examples.
And being first doesn't necessarily mean you win. Dropbox is wide used in business.
You win for a while.
And then other people come along.
Right.
Digital was first. Minis, where are they? Sun? I mean, there's...
Does that mean we're still where we were when BlackBerry started?
No, it means
Windows 3.1.
Yeah.
So we're beginning.
It means that the technology has changed, right. But the strategy or the way markets work, it's an organic world.
Right.
Technology is organic as well. And you have to look at, survival of the fittest. I don't know what to call it, but it's basically that. And that's what happens with technologies as well.
So we're being given the high sign that we should start hurrying up and finish up soon. Any questions?
We're just getting started.
Any questions from the audience? Give you a chance right here. There's a lightning round after this, so any questions from the audience? This is your chance. You got the experts right here.
Shy people.
Sure. I don't have a mic.
That's okay. We'll repeat the question. So go ahead, Will.
So is Slack then an early indicator of a company that's ready to go more mobile too, so to speak? Was that sort of...
To go more what? So let me grab that question and repeat it so we'll pick it up on the microphone. Is Slack one of the first companies really to go Gartner mode 2? And I could ask
I think it's actually different. I think the question is more, if a company is using Slack, is that an indicator that they're a more forward-thinking company rather than...
Is it a success story to socialize internally about a culture change and transformation?
Absolutely.
Not the right tools, the company turns back to that's a security violation. This is actually bad behavior. So, I mean, is Slack one of those things?
You have to kind of look at it to understand, organizational behavior and psychology, and who are the mobile-first generation of developers. These are the kinds of talented people you want to encourage and excite. And if they're starting to adopt it without your understanding why, that's the first clue that the world is changing in a way and it's not including you. And you want to pay attention to, the patterns that you see in your culture and the adoption of technologies, not to be afraid of them, but to go, hey, there's some experience. It's like when a new band starts and a whole bunch of people move in that direction and sort of understand that band signals that we're entering a new phase in our society, a new sound, a new whatever. And you want to
sort of pay attention to that. So I would say yes, absolutely.
But one of the problems that many companies have, and this is important, is that tools like Slack and other tools like that, BlackBerry next day, were viral. They're almost an infection, if you will. The companies aren't the ones that are implementing them, and in fact, they probably don't even know about it until there's a mass market internally, you know, critical mass is achieved. And so the question then becomes, should the companies themselves, from a strategic perspective, be looking at these tools and implementing them, or does it make more sense to let your end users choose the tools they need and then build up from the ground level? And it's not an easy answer. It's not one or the other. It really does depend. There are pros and cons to each approach, and companies really need to be aware of what's going on internally, you know, the infection, if you will, before it gets so bad that you die, or is it something that, you know, you're going to inoculate your company against?
Yeah, Jack, I'm going to cut you off because Phil's literally dragging us off the stage. So, quick lightning round. You get 5 seconds to answer. The favorite phone that you're carrying today, not something that's been given to you. What is your favorite phone that you're carrying today, Ken?
Favorite one I've ever had or favorite one I have today?
Today.
LG G4.
Sanjay.
iPhone.
Tough question. I've still got a BlackBerry, but I've got some Android devices I really like.
What's your favorite one?
I have to say right now, I'm using the BlackBerry Classic because of the keyboard. I like the hard keyboard.
Eric?
The Galaxy Note 5.
I like the BlackBerry Pre.
Okay. How many of you here are wearing a watch or a wearable right now? What are you wearing?
Apple.
I got a watch.
Okay. Really? Anyone else wearing a wearable?
Nope.
I have an Apple Watch on at the moment. So, and actually, we record this on Apple. Favorite phone right now is the iPhone 6S. I love the Motorola X2, but I haven't played with the brand new one that came out recently, so on the Android side. And you know, to give you an idea, we record this, we're using an iPad right now. I can do all this on an iPad and a microphone.
A nice mic.
Yeah, nice mic. Can I get a huge round of applause for these guys for their participation?